Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the 11th Hour Messenger. I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian Whistleblower, kicking off a brand new show tonight for you. We're going to try to bring this to you on a regular basis. A little bit different than what you're used to. A little bit more free form, a little bit more open, a little less formal. But we think it's going to bring you some good information nonetheless. And I'll be joined on the 11th Hour Messenger by Joshua Daugherty. And we'll be talking about, well, whatever we feel like talking about, whatever comes up. So welcome to the show, and welcome to the show, Joshua.
Whoa, thank you. Whatever comes up, comes out.
Absolutely. And it's funny, Joshua recommended the name of the 11th Hour Messenger for this show. And it's interesting that he did, because way back in the day, my first radio show was called the 11th Hour Messenger, and it was broadcast out of Pendleton, Oregon, and that's along the Columbia Gorge, and it broadcast all the way from La Grande, Oregon, to the outskirts of Gresham, Oregon, which is a long way, but the only problem was there's only 122 people in that entire Columbia Gorge. It wasn't that bad, but there wasn't a whole lot of people. I'm surprised you remembered that, Josh.
Yeah, I remember that a lot, actually. I remember that in particular, and then also a lot of those newspaper ads you used to put in for, like, the Halloween revival.
That was in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
Yeah. Interesting stuff back then.
And what are we drinking here tonight, Josh?
Oh, yeah, this is Folklore Coffee. This is from China. It's a Black River varietal. China has been pretty closed off. We have closed them off pretty much. But this is a coffee we're not going to find in a lot of places. You can find it at our website, folklore.bigcartel.com.
And you can also find it at jeffreydaugherty.com down on the bottom on the advertising. So it is Folklore Coffee. Just click on there. And that's the official coffee sponsor of the Christian Whistleblower, Jeffrey Daugherty, as well as the, the 11th
Hour
Messenger, a radio broadcast. And it's funny because the 11th Hour Messenger back in the day when I started it was your classic scare tactic Christian, philosophy. It's the 11th hour, time's running out. If you don't get saved, you're going to go burn in hell. And, I mean, we believed that for a lot of years, didn't we?
Yeah, that was the main tenet of my childhood, pretty much.
So when did you stop believing in the heaven or hell, turn or burn type of a scenario?
I think I've always been torn since I was really young about believing that.
Even now?
No.
How old are you now?
I'm 32.
Okay.
From obviously whenever I was indoctrinated by you. Until probably far later than I should have, woken up to what was happening to myself. But I would say all the way from a child, I would just go back and forth from really feeling that fear of, all of my actions daily as a child and all the consequences weighing on my soul, affecting me that deeply at that young.
Did it really affect you that deeply on a daily basis?
Yeah, it would swing back and forth where, sometimes you can just live your life and, you're, I guess, asleep and you don't really think about too much. But then occasionally you after you go to church or whatever, you have a conversation, you start to think about things that are deeper and more meaningful.
That's super scary to me because for 20 years I preached that stuff and it's just literally wrecking people's lives for 20 years.
I don't know I guess it does wreck your life. Every single thing wrecks our life, so that
we know people that are way over the deep end about the rapture and the second coming, and their lives really are a mess, or they seem to be a mess because of it. And I hate to think about being a part of that. But now that we're not in that anymore, when do you think you finally said, no, that's not for me?
I think very vividly, if I had to have a moment, it would have been during my little episode that I had, where I was visited in my sleep by the crazy shadow being.
So you were visited by a shadow man.
You know about this.
You know I was dumb for a shadow man. That is pretty funny. So you actually got visited by a shadow man.
Yeah, me and Sandra.
My daughter, Sandra.
We were talking about, we were reading the Bible, and if you just read...
How interesting is it that shadow men have come after both of us?
I don't know if this is a shadow man that came after me, necessarily. But Sandra and I, were discussing the fact that our actions as a nation, going on in the Middle East, and if we were just took out the Christian perspective of the biblical theology we've learned and just applied it to the words, it looks a lot like we are the world order attacking the chosen people and destroying all of their whole families, their whole lives.
Much like we did to the American Indians.
Same exact thing, yeah. But it wasn't written about in the Bible about the Native Americans, so who cares, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so after that very night, I was sleeping and I just heard, my name being called, just Josh. And I felt something touch my foot and I opened my eyes and right in front of my bed was this big, huge, black being. It didn't have features that I could tell, but it was, silhouetted. And I was in my sleep paralysis because I had just, woken up. And I used to dream all the time, so I don't have sleep paralysis. I don't, it's not something that happens to me very often. And I couldn't move, I couldn't do anything, and then I was so afraid that I went to yell or scream or anything, and the only thing that came out was this guttural, roaring noise that I've never heard in my life before. That was just like the craziest, is a roar, basically. And then for some unknown reason, I banished it. And
it just disappeared?
Yeah. And then I was, out of the paralysis and all that.
I've always wondered if that was a shadow man, because he didn't seem like he was particularly malevolent towards you.
That's what I was wondering, too. I was afraid, but I can't identify any particular reason for me to be afraid other than the fact that I just woke up to some dude at the end of my bed.
Yeah.
So I freaked out, and in hindsight, I really wish I could have at least had composure enough to see why this was happening,
And your other sister, who we won't name because she's probably wouldn't want to be named in this forum, but she's a person that, interestingly enough, she's not really into what we're into, but she can control her dreams, her lucid dreams. She can actually stop and ask questions and all that stuff like we wish that we would think of doing.
She did it one time and will never do it again because it worked.
Isn't that weird, though? Something that people wish they could do, she can and she won't because she's still into the beliefs that her father and mother beat into her for her whole life. So very, very weird stuff. But you think about the 11th hour messenger, and obviously we don't believe anymore that, or at least I don't, I'm going to speak for you, I don't believe anymore that there's a horrible cataclysm coming. I don't believe anymore that it's heaven or hell, turn or burn. I don't believe anymore that you either do a certain thing a certain way or you're going to be thrown into a lake of fire or blotted out of existence. But yet we still call this the 11th hour. Of course, it is at 11 o'clock at night here on the East Coast as we are live. But what is the 11th hour to you now?
The 11th hour, I think, to me, still represents the same thing, but just in a completely more normal way. Like, it's actually just more real. Like, we're not going through, some sort of burning of the earth and we're all going to be taken or anything like that. But we are still approaching a moment when everything is going to be changed.
Critical mass, if you will.
Yeah.
You remember my friend, Dr. Andy Toltec?
I do.
The shaman, the MD.
Some may call him a bruja, or the brujo.
Oh, a brujo, yeah. Witch doctor. That's what it's called, right? Brujo?
Bruja is what I know. I'm not necessarily certain.
I think brujo is, one of them's donkey, and then one of them is a brujito.
Brujito
was what they call it in Mexican,
I think.
I
didn't know if there was a masculinity towards the witch.
I think it's called a brujito. Yeah, brujito. But at any rate, he...
I call it more of a brojito.
Yeah. He believed that there was a change coming and that the people that ascended or tuned into the next frequency, whatever you want to call it, would be gone. And then they would represent the best of this planet. And the rest of the people would be left to basically fight it out. Or he thought that maybe the astral level was going to fold down upon itself and they'd just be ground back into the energetic grist of the universe. What do you think about that?
That's very interesting.
It is. I mean, this guy's an MD doctor, psychologist, and a indigenous shaman. So he's got some interesting ideas.
It's definitely a unique perspective, I guess. I kind of agree with him, actually.
Really?
But I have a lot of shamanic leanings myself. But in the sense that I don't know if people are just going to disappear, like they're going to just bounce out to heaven or...
You mean the people that go up in frequency or whatever, the ones that ascend or whatever we want to call it?
I think that the whole thing is more of an energy. And just like now, we can only see in a certain band of energy. And, you know, there could be things living here having their own existence at a higher plane or a lower plane of that energetic field we can't see. You know, and that's not something that's subjective. That's a real thing that's there.
Are you telling me that this could be somebody else's hell?
I'm saying that there could be other people just living right here doing their own thing that we can't even see. And I don't think that there is a heaven or hell. I just think that there is where you are. And your vibrations determine, I guess, the level of life that you're going to be having, you know, depending on your outlook and the things that you do to support your community. You could be living in a hell, but if your passion is to support your community and your people, you could be living there, making a difference, positively serving, you know, just people in general and helping them raise above. And, you know, time is circular and everything keeps going and coming back to where it started, then hell isn't a place, it's a state of being.
Now, I was just reading... I think I was reading it today, I was reading it yesterday, but there's a place over in Liverpool, I don't know if you've heard about this, that's renowned for what they call time slips. People are going down this particular street in Liverpool, England, of course, UK, and they are all of a sudden, they find themselves back in like the 1930s or the 1940s. And, you know, my question, and we've talked about this a little bit, but when you think about time, we think about time being linear. You know, it started back somewhere and now we're here and it's, you know, off into the future. But what about, is it possible that maybe all of time exists right here, right now, and it's just a different frequencies or different wavelengths or maybe even different layers? Do you think that all of time is here right now and we could really, if we knew what we were doing, we could go? We could slip from times, or we could even do it with intention or with technology, or I don't know.
Well, by definition, you know, your time is limiting your dimensional capabilities. So
what do you mean?
The third dimension where we are, we see time as linear because we can't experience time.
Now, have you been in the astral realm?
Depends on, you know, if where I've been was defined as astral. I didn't see any street signs.
What's your experience
said,
of time?
To astral.
There is no
time. I'll go.
Exactly
to,
right.
If I'm meditating or if I'm dreaming, I don't have a concept of a time. It could be days, weeks, you know, it could be endless. And then, you know, it could be just moments. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't it's the same no matter how long it is.
And also, interestingly enough, if there's no time, there's no cause and effect either, is there?
I think that there is time, though. Time is the next dimension. It's the fractals of all of us, all of our decisions, all of our motivations and energies, the things that we think about, you know, those things really are created. And where do they go? Because we're here, we don't see our actions.
You're talking about all of the, are you talking about all the different possibilities that we could have chosen?
Yeah, but, you know, in your mind, once you think something, it's happened. You know, that's something that is talked about from Jesus. He talks about that.
So once you think something in your mind, you think it's created somewhere?
I think that it could be, yeah, because you used your imagination and your creative energies given to you by the Creator, and you made it happen. Even if it's in your mind, as within, so without. So it's,
and you think that's what Yeshua was talking about? Now, where, you know, in the King James, I'm sure it's very butchered, but he talks about if you think as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you even think to have lustful thoughts for someone, you've already had sex with them. So you think that actual thought creates. So let's just take that, and I don't think that's probably a real scripture, but if you thought that you wanted to have sex with some girl walking down the street, are you saying that thought in some other reality made you have sex with that girl?
If you're coming from a state of elevation, you don't have a perception of time for your actions. So if you make the decision to have lust in your heart, at some point that lust is there in your heart living. So someone who would be coming from a perspective of that next dimension who is trying to stay pure at all times would have a different perspective on that. Whereas if he even looked at it, he's creating the opportunity that could have been present in the energy of his life.
I have no idea what you just said.
Sorry.
So do you think that, so you don't necessarily think that every thought creates a parallel branched off reality somewhere?
I don't know if it works like that. I think that the whole thing that we're a part of, this creation, this existence, is part of another whole somewhere that is beyond our senses. So, you know, us creating something that we feel might be separated from ourselves or our actions is still going to be part of a whole in that next dimension that we, even though we feel separate here, are still part of in that next level.
But do you think if you wanted to go back to your childhood, that still remains somewhere here, and it's just a matter of tuning into it?
The memory still remains.
But as a separate timeline, does it remain?
Well, if we could go back, then again, we'd have limitless possibility from there forward. If we could go back.
Right. So when you start thinking about, on the surface, in a parallel universes, a multiple dimension sounds like it should be right, and even now most scientists are talking about quantum realities. But then when you start getting down to just the sheer vast numbers of them, it almost begins to seem like it couldn't be true.
But there's so many instances. You have all these people talking about Lemuria. You hear Lemuria, or the dude in New York just popped in, had all the money and had his passports and ID, and it was all not
I remember that
real,
guy.
Pretty much. And then...
And these people in Liverpool going in shopping in an old store that...
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to pay for it with a credit card, and they're like, what is that?
Yeah, or the lady whose husband disappeared, and she had the newspaper and the cops, you know, everybody was looking for it, it's all documented. And then it turns out he had slipped through time and supposedly had gotten recontacted with her, but he was like 30 years younger than
Where was this?
Can't remember. This is just from the memory banks of paranormal shows.
That one I've never heard. That one I've
That's
never
a
heard.
Famous one. I wish I could.
That
I
sounds
pull it
crazy.
Up. Yeah, weird stuff. So it's like both are true. You know what I mean? Like reality or subjective reality, whatever you want to call it, whatever we think is real, and the energy are like completely separate things.
I don't follow that. What do you mean by that?
It just seems like the reality that we see, like
this
America,
right now, right here.
America, we got Trump.
Right.
You know, for that guy in New York who they found, he was from Limeria, and that was his reality.
And Limeria wasn't, you know, is not a real place to us.
Right, but he had the whole, he told them all about everything. Some of the stuff was the same, some of the stuff was different. So it's like his slip was similar to ours, but different enough where we didn't recognize his documents. Yet that separate reality still has its very own layers of this other stuff that we're talking about that deals with the times and our spiritual selves and our bodies.
Did that guy just disappear, or what happened to him?
Yeah, he ended up re-disappearing, and we never heard from him again.
No, there's a group of people that even say Trump is a time traveler. Have you read that?
I don't know.
That he's John Peter is actually Donald John Trump.
Really?
And that Trump went into the future, saw terrible things that were going to happen. That's why he came back and decided to run for president to try to stop these terrible things from happening.
Oh, no, I don't do that. Yeah.
Joshua's political leanings are rearing their head, I think, a little bit in this discussion. My Twitter, @unindoctrinate, is open if you wanted to tweet in a question. And you could also call 929-477-1424 if you had a question or had a story about dimensional slips. You know, it just, to me, it's hard to get my mind around it. I can't look at time anymore as being linear, you know, because there's just, it just seems too many different possibilities. But then the vastness of the possibilities almost makes it to where you're just like, forget it. It just can't be, because if every single thought creates another universe, good Lord.
But think about this. If you're living presently in the moment, you're not creating all those universes.
Right. Right. Interesting. So you're kind of on the Dr. Andy Toltec bandwagon that says this whole thing, there really is going to be like a bad end for a lot of people?
I really do believe our consciousness creates the matter. What came fast, first, the matter or the mind?
Yeah.
Was it the maker?
So, you know, I agree with you. I think that we're on the edge, and we got about 8 minutes left. We're on the edge or the verge of something of a major change. I happen to look at it as a positive, optimistic change, and I think the Bible looks at it, the original Yeshua teachings and those of his apostles look at it as a positive change. But I guess I've never stepped back and thought about it. Okay, maybe it's a positive change for those people and the people that are following the ways and truths and lives that ways and truths and the life that Yeshua laid out and other great teachers. But what for the people that don't follow it, what happens at this moment or this event that seems to be a retuning or a higher tuning or an ascension or whatever you want to call it? What happens to the people that don't ascend? Do they just come back again as humans in this reality like reincarnation teaches? Or is reincarnation more like, okay, you went through, you didn't really get it all done, so you get, and I know this is kind of a base analogy, but you get ground up into the back into the energetic grist of the universe and pop back out again to try again. It's interesting.
I don't know if I subscribe to that at all. I think that if you think about what's going on right now, we have a lot of really young people who are starting to find out that everything that they've loved, their MTV, you know, their McDonald's, their Google, their Facebook, everything has lied to them.
Google lied to you.
Google lied to you. Facebook lied to you.
That's, what's his name?
Yeah, Mr. West.
Kanye.
And if we really think about it.
Don't send no killers, just call me.
We have a group of people who have been indoctrinated to believe that they are special and can change the world in order to get them to buy products. But then these people are actually waking up with the entitlement that they are free individuals who can change the world. And this is the seventh generation spoken of, you know, in the prophecies of Native people. These people that are protecting the water, these people that are boycotting, you know, Wells Fargo, boycotting banks, starting to boycott, you know, Facebook, turning off their Facebook, starting to...
Are people turning off their Facebook?
People are not using that stuff. People are starting their own businesses. People are starting to wake up and speak and talk. And I think that is the change. I don't see everything being so separate from how we experience the reality. I don't know if it's going to be an energetic reincarnation, blah, blah, blah. But if we live moment by moment, and we're present, then we literally dictate our lives and our direction, and we are influenced, you know, by the higher spheres. We are influencing the world ourselves with direct action, and those people are going to be changing the world in the near future.
Can we leverage ourselves across multiple universes and existences to maximize our moments in any particular one?
Energy coalesces at the strongest point.
How do we do that with intention? Can we do that?
You become intent.
But can you say I'm going to use all the other Jeffs from all these other universes and direct their power and their intention into this moment now?
If you don't create multiple Jeffs in multiple universes.
Oh, so you think that multiple universes, parallel universes, aren't just created. They're created by our lack of focus. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting. Tell us once again your coffee website.
Social media for me, you can find me Instagram at by Joshua Allen. Also, our coffee is at Folklore. That's FLKLRE, Folklore. Open-minded craft coffee. Best coffee probably in the universe. You have to try it for yourself, though.
This universe or all universes?
I say singular.
And don't you have an Instagram?
That was my Instagram, by Joshua Allen.
By Joshua Allen, okay. And, of course, you can follow me, Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian whistleblower, at Unindoctrinate on Twitter, Jeffrey Daugherty on Facebook, also Jeffrey Daugherty Show. And then there's jeffreydaugherty.com and christianwhistleblower.com. And I really would like you to go to the YouTube channel, Jeffrey Daugherty YouTube. Just type that in. You'll get it. Subscribe there. We've got a lot of things coming up, a lot of things going out. And, of course, this is one of them, the new 11th Hour Messenger Show. Anything you want to say in the last minute, Josh?
Our hands.
The English lady just said 90 seconds.
Our hands, they're very big. We get things done.
What's that from?
I'm trying to do Donald Trump. I can't.
Oh, okay. Great hands. Absolutely. So we'll be back. We'll be back again, right, with this show?
Yeah, that's fun.
We'll be back again with the show, the 11th Hour Messenger. And in the interim, visit Josh at all his places. Visit me at all my places. And again, this is just one more thing that we're trying to do. As the English lady says, there's 60 seconds left. This is one of the things we're trying to do to help you get to the place where you can unindoctrinate yourself. And I'm Jeffrey Daugherty, the Christian whistleblower.
Joshua Daugherty.
This has been the 11th Hour Messenger Program, and we look forward to seeing you next time.